The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Okay, I want to get a little closer if you can, right?
Out of the earth rises light, rises life, rises spring. May we join with the miracle that is springtime and enter into life with lightness and joy. Out of the spirit rises faith, rises hope, rises love. May we join with the miracle that is Easter time and enter into life with hope and love. Let us resurrect with spring. Let us resurrect with the Spirit and enter into renewed life as we gather into our time of worship together this Easter morning. Happy Easter.
Easter.
And welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I'm very happy to welcome you here this morning. Despite having many theological disagreements with Christianity, Easter remains a very meaningful holiday for me. It's a time of mystery, a time of marking a truth beyond understanding and a faith beyond proof. Easter morning holds a message of hope. Hope in the face of fear, love in the face of hatred. And I say that the message of Easter is central to Unitarian Universalism. That each and every person has worthiness. We each have worthiness past our faults. We each have life beyond our individual selves. We are here to witness to mystery. We are here to pause a moment before our family gatherings. We're here to honor a tradition that we may or may not believe in. We are here to celebrate, to share our stuffed animals, if you brought your stuffed animal. We're here for solace, for comfort, for celebration, for joy. Why ever you are here, whatever the reason which brought you through our physical or our virtual doors, you are welcome. All of you. Not just that one part, all of you is welcome here. Come. Let us worship together. Every Sunday, we light a chalice, the symbol of our free faith and a beacon of hope for searchers, for heretics, for believers, for non-believers. This light calls to our hearts and memories the thousands of Unitarian Universalists across the country and around the globe who also kindle a flame. And I've asked my family, who are not often here but are here today, to come forward and light our chalice. As we wish for peace in the world, we work for peace in our hearts. So join with me now as we light our second flame, a call for each of us to strive for a cessation of harmful words, a cessation of harmful actions, and even harmful thoughts. And join with our responsive reading. May peace be with us
and with all the people of the world.
Thank you. There are a few things to notice with our hymns today. And one is that the fellowship singers will be helping to lead us every time. So thank you for your ministry of music and for your guidance. The second thing to notice is that almost all of the hymns are going to be the same. What? Hold on, but no. They're going to be the same tune. If you want a hymnal, there are some in the back, and you can, at any time, you can feel free to get up and get one. If you have a hymnal, you might notice that the songs are different, but we are going to sing them to the same tune each time. It will be the Easter hymn tune. If you don't know that tune, you will know it by the end of today. So please now rise in body or in spirit and move to the sides. You can see the lyrics if you're rising. And we are going to start with words by Samuel Longfellow, number 61, "Lo, the Earth Awakes Again." Thank you. Thank you. Easter is a mysterious and amazing day. A day born from a story about a man who was killed and came back to life. And this story, like so many, includes a truth which transcends its container. That is, the truth which the Easter story talks about isn't just a factual account. There's something deeper, something only shown and seen through example, through feelings, through illustrations. And today, as we did last year, so if you hear last year, you may think, oh, I see some of the same format. We're going to go back and forth between two stories of loss, two stories of new life. And the reason I asked you to bring your stuffed animals, this is my. It's because today we're talking, our second story is The Velveteen Rabbit. So we're going to be reading the Bible and The Velveteen Rabbit. Each of these tales has a portion of reality. And both of these stories have parts of fantasy, right? So let us hear both of these familiar tales with open hearts, with discerning minds. So I'm going to sit here with Timmy, and I encourage anyone else, if you want to sit with your stuffed animal as we listen to the first part of The Velveteen Rabbit.
Okay. The boy who received the rabbit as a gift was delighted. He hugged and patted his rabbit while playing and talking with him. He did so for almost 2 hours. But when his uncles arrived with new presents, the boys lost interest in the excitement and forgot about his velveteen rabbit. The little rabbit spent his time in the toy cupboard or the corner of the nursery. There he met the many toys that lived in the room. The expensive toys and the mechanical toys often said, "I am real." They boasted about themselves and snubbed the rabbit for being made of mere cloth. The velveteen rabbit felt ashamed and hid himself timidly in the corner. The only one that was kind to him was the skin horse. He was the oldest in the nursery and looked shabby and frayed, but his eyes gleamed wisely. "Everyone talks about being real, but what is real?" the rabbit asked one day. "Does it mean you move and have a key to wind you up?" "No, that's not real," said the skin horse gently. "Real is a thing that happens when a toy has spent a long time becoming a child's true friend. When a child really cares for you, not just to play with, but loves you from the heart, then you become real. Even if you're old and tattered by then, it doesn't matter. You too can become real, young fellow. In the nursery, magic happens from time to time." There was a nursemaid called Nana in the boy's family. The toys were afraid of her because every so often she did what was called tidying up. Once it began, the toys were swooped up and thrown into the cupboard. One evening, Nana noticed that the toy dog the boy always slept with was missing. "What a bother," she thought. Then she quickly snatched the velveteen rabbit from the cupboard. "Here's your little bunny," she said to the boy. "You can sleep with him from now on." And she put the rabbit into the boy's arms. From then on, the rabbit slept in the boy's bed every night. At first, he found it rather uncomfortable and stifling, and he missed the cupboard where he could talk with the skin horse. But soon he grew to like being with the boy. The boy was always kind to him and made him a rabbit's burrow under the comforter. There they chatted in whispers endlessly. When the boy fell asleep, the rabbit snuggled up to the boy's cheek and had pleasant dreams. Spring came and went, and they went out into the garden to play. The boy and the rabbit were always together. The rabbit was offered rides in the wheelbarrow, tea in the afternoon, and a lovely tiny cottage was built for him under the raspberry thicket. Gradually, he became grimy and muddy, but he didn't mind at all because he was happy every day. End of part one.
You can stay here or you can go back. It's okay because we're going to have different, more parts of the story. My introduction to the Easter narrative also starts well before the Sunday that we're remembering on Easter morning. Jesus was a man who lived about 2,000 years ago, and he spent his young life. Yeah, that's okay. It's fine. He spent his young adult life walking around and sharing a message of peace and of love and obeying a divine rule above human law. People gathered to hear him, and many of those people cared very deeply for Jesus. He had 12 followers who were especially close to him and helped him preach this message of peace and love. This is the man we are talking about today, and this might seem familiar. He was called by some teacher, rabbi, master. We can also think of him as beloved, brother, guide. Jesus was a man who believed and taught that a loving world was indeed possible, that going against the norm of human behavior, of oppression, of selfishness, was okay. It was good to go against that. Someone who preached a life informed by religion and challenged his followers through stories and parables. So just as the Velveteen Rabbit became beloved of all the toys, so Jesus was heralded above other teachers. Here's a short piece from the book of Mark, from actually last week, if you're following the story, when Jesus comes to Jerusalem with shouts of joy and praise. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village ahead of me, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they were allowed to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." We pause in our two stories to sing another song of joy and praise. If you have a hymnal and read music, don't look at the notes for this hymn. We're going to do it to the same tune, the Easter hymn, as the previous one. Number 2269, "Lo, the day of days is here." Please rise in body or in spirit.
And give you a little intro here. Oh,
All right, so we're going to continue with The Velveteen Rabbit, part two of three that we're reading. Once when the boy was suddenly called to go on an outing, the rabbit was left out in the garden. Nana came to look for him after dark, holding a lamp in her hand. "This scruffy bunny is indeed a bother," she muttered. "All this fuss over a toy because the little one can't go to sleep without it." She rubbed the dirt off the rabbit with her apron. "What's so special about this dirty old toy?" she grumbled. "Stop it, Nana," exclaimed the boy. "He isn't a toy. He is real." The Velveteen Rabbit was overjoyed. "I am real," he thought. "I have become real." He was too happy to sleep that night. It was a wonderful summer. Behind the house, there was a wood where the boy would take his rabbit and play for hours. The boy always placed his rabbit carefully on the grass before running off to pick flowers or play bandits. One day, when the Velveteen Rabbit was sitting by a tree, as he always did, he saw two strange things emerge from the ferns. They were rabbits, just like he was, but with no seams, and their bodies stretched and shrunk when they moved. "I wonder where the keys are to wind them up," he thought, as he stared at them in amazement. "Why are you sitting still?" one of them asked. "Why don't you come along and play with us?" "I don't really feel like playing," said the Velveteen Rabbit anxiously. He didn't want them to find out that there was no key to wind him up. "You're an odd one," said the other rabbit. "Look, can you hop like this?" He gave a big hop. "I can," mumbled the Velveteen Rabbit. "I can hop really high." What he didn't say was his only hop happened when the boy tossed him. So he said, "I just don't feel like it right now." The wild rabbits began to whirl around in a dance. "Come on," they called. "Come dance with us and show us your hop." The Velveteen Rabbit was about to cry. "How can I dance like they do?" he wondered hopelessly. Suddenly, one wild rabbit stopped dancing and put his face right up to the Velveteen Rabbit. "He smells funny," he said. "This isn't a real rabbit." "I am real," cried the Velveteen Rabbit. "The boy said so." Just then, the crunch of the boy's footsteps could be heard. In a flash, the two wild rabbits were gone. "Come back, please," the Velveteen Rabbit called after them. "I am real." But the wild rabbits never returned. Time passed. The Velveteen Rabbit grew old and became even dirtier and shabbier. He was so shabby that in many people's eyes, he hardly looked like a rabbit anymore. But to the boy, he was as beautiful as ever. And that was enough to make the rabbit happy. He knew that being shabby didn't matter because the magic of the nursery had made him real. Then one day, the boy fell ill. He had a high fever and slept day after day. Strange people came into the nursery, and the light burned all through the night. The rabbit clung to the boy, hiding under the comforter. He was careful that he wouldn't be found and taken away. When no one was in the room, he crept up close to the pillow and whispered in the boy's ear. He told the boy things that were fun and exciting. He talked about the wonderful days they had spent in the garden among the flowers and the butterflies playing together under the raspberry thicket. After a long, weary time, the boy's fever finally went down. One bright sunny morning, the windows to the nursery were opened wide, and the boy was carried out onto the balcony. The next day, he would be going to the seaside and would stay there until he was well again. "Hooray," cried the rabbit, "we're going to the beach." The rabbit was delighted. He couldn't wait to see the big waves and the tiny crabs that the boy had so often talked about. It was at that moment that he heard the boy's doctor talking to Nana. "You must disinfect the whole room," said the doctor, "and burn all the books and toys that he played with." "How about this old bunny?" asked Nana. "That's a mass of germs," said the doctor. "Burn it right away. You can always get a new one." The Velveteen Rabbit had never thought of such an end. He was put into a sack and carried out to the end of the garden to be burned with the other toys and books the next day. The boy had forgotten him in the excitement over going to the seaside. Shivering with cold, the Velveteen Rabbit stuck his head out of the sack and looked around. He could see the black silhouette of the raspberry thicket under which he had played with the boy on balmy spring days. "I wish I could go back to that wonderful time," he thought, and the beautiful memories almost broke his heart. Why should it all end like this for someone who had been beloved so much and became real? A tear, a real tear, trickled down his cheek and fell to the ground. End of part two.
This time, actually, there's a bigger break, but you can still stay, but there's more time before the next part of the story. So we're getting to the sad part of our two stories. I might go behind you. Because just as the Velveteen Rabbit felt alone and near the end, so did Jesus. Jesus was not always liked. We know that. Jesus was not always liked. Saying that there's a divine law which is more important than human law can get you into trouble. And Jesus was countercultural, and many people were upset with him. He kept getting into legal problems and with his Jewish faith community and with the Roman government. So eventually one of his friends helped the authorities arrest Jesus. Our story of Easter continues with these passages from the book of Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas arrived, and with him there was a crowd of swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another that is not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent, and he did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. After flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began shouting and saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Again we pause, this time to feel in these tales the sorrow, the sadness, and also to share now from deep within ourselves.
We come as community for many reasons. One of the reasons we come is to share with one another the important things that are in our hearts and on our minds. We call it Matters of the Heart, and we invite anyone who is here in the sanctuary to come forward. Remind us who you are. I'm Toni Black. And share with us your joy or your concern. And then when those here have come forward, we'll give those who are at home with the Zoom or with their phones a chance to share also what is very dear and very important to themselves at this time. You are welcome to come up.
We will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing a different song. We're going to sing Return Again.
Can I make the announcement about the singing parts? You'll see the first two lines are part one, and the following four lines are part two. We're going to repeat part one once. We're going to repeat part two once, and then go back up and sing part one again. Mm-hmm.
Rolling Away the Stone by Sarah Moores Campbell. In the tomb of the soul, we carry secret yearnings, pains, frustrations, loneliness, fears, regrets, worries. In the tomb of the soul, we take refuge from the world and its heaviness. In the tomb of the soul, we wrap ourselves in the security of darkness. Sometimes this is a comfort, sometimes it is an escape. Sometimes it prepares us for experience. Sometimes it insulates us from life. Sometimes this tomb life gives us time to feel the pain of the world and reach out to heal others. Sometimes it numbs us and locks us up with our own concerns. In this season where light and dark balance the day, we seek balance for ourselves. Grateful for the darkness that has nourished us, we push away the stone and invite the light to awaken us to the possibilities within us and among us, possibilities for new life in ourselves and in our world.
From the fire, living in the fire, go back to the fire, turn the world around.
We come from the water, living
in... We didn't start with a note, I'm so sorry. Let's
do that.
We come from the fire. We come from the fire.
The drum is not a note.
I had the note.
All right, one more time, David.
We come from the fire, living in the fire. Go back to the fire, turn the world around.
We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around.
We come from the mountain, living on the mountain. Go back to the mountain, turn the world around. Whoa, so is life. Ha, so is life. Another clearly, do we know who we are? Whoa, so is life, buddy. So is life. Whoa, so is life, buddy. So is life.
Water make the river, river wash the mountain. Fire make the sunlight, turn the world around.
Heart is of the river, body is the mountain, spirit is the sunlight, turn the world around.
We are of the spirit, truly of the spirit, only can the spirit turn the world around.
Whoa, so is life, a buddy, wah, ha, so is life. Whoa, so is life, a buddy, wah, ha, so is life. So is life. Whoa, so is life. A buddy, wah, ha, so is life.
Then a strange thing happened. From the ground where the tear had fallen, a sprout of where the tear had fallen, a sprout of a flower came out and quickly grew. Soon the flower opened, and from inside a beautiful fairy appeared. "Little rabbit," she said, "do you know who I am?" The rabbit was so stunned that he forgot about crying and gazed at her in wonder. "I am the fairy of the nursery," she continued. "I take care of the toys that the children have truly loved. When their time comes and they have to say goodbye, I come for them and make them real." "But I'm already real," said the rabbit. "You were real to the boy because he loved you very much," said the fairy. "Tonight, I will make you real to everyone." She gently kissed the rabbit on his nose. "Now you shall become real to all." And there's the bunny, the rabbit playing with all the other real rabbits. Autumn passed and winter and spring came. The seasons had come around, and once when the boy was in the wood, he came upon an old, odd, wild rabbit that seemed to be staring at him. "How curious," he thought. "That rabbit looks just like my old bunny that was lost when I had a bad fever." The end.
And part three and book.
Thank you.
That's embarrassing.
The mystery continues in the other story we are following, the story of Jesus on what will become the first Easter morning. Jesus' body had been taken and buried in a rock-hewn tomb, and his friends went to observe the Sabbath. Listen now to our final passage from Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been already rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now there's no fairy, like in the Velveteen Rabbit, but we do have a mystery of life coming where there wasn't life before. In the Bible, there are many different versions of what happened on Sunday morning. Depending on which book, and even in one book phrase to the next, there are many different versions of what happened on Sunday morning. For me, this begs the question of, like, what really happened? What's real? And we don't know. We don't know what exactly happened. We have what we have in the Bible are testimonies of people who didn't live at the time that this happened, and who all have slightly different messages and slightly different takes. So did Jesus physically die and then come back to life? Is the resurrection real? Well, did the Velveteen Rabbit actually come to life? Did a stuffed bunny, through the love of a little boy and a nursery fairy, turn into a real bunny? Are either of the stories in the books we're looking at this morning historical reference books? Now I say that the answer to both of these questions is not as maybe black and white as it might first glance seem, right? Here's Timmy has gone on many adventures with me. And he used to be a little bit whiter, or maybe white, I guess. He used to be white. He used to be a different shape. Not as worn, right? And to me, he has personality. To me, he is realness, right? Will he ever be an actual polar bear? Yeah, he's a polar bear. He looks like a polar bear to me, right? Will he ever be an actual polar bear? Yes, okay, there's a yes. I don't think so. Is he real?
Yes.
Timmy, I'll let you sit right there. He's very positive, too. He's big thumb. Jesus became alive again to his followers. Right? They followed his teachings, and that reality helped teach them something of what it means to love, something of what it means to be loved. And what it means to be real. Is Jesus walking around today in a physical body? I haven't met him. Is Jesus alive in people's actions, in people's thoughts and hearts? I'd say yeah. The stuffies you are holding, can they move on their own? Are they real? I say that this inspired man, who some call the Christ, lives in our actions, lives in our ideals. The religion, this religion, even ours, started from his ideals. Our faith history comes from this. This speaks to Unitarian Universalist ideals of love and respect. And Jesus lived a life always aimed toward love. And even after his death, he lives on in people striving to live lives based on love. He lives on, and that for me is the mystery of Easter. Resurrection isn't just for Jesus. Resurrection isn't just for the Velveteen Rabbit, not just for our special stuffies. Resurrection is for us also. And in our resurrection, for me, that means that there is infinite hope. There is infinite love. There is infinite possibilities for redemption. That's the truth of Easter. The truth that hardship is guaranteed, but that we are not defined by our worst mistakes. We are not defined by our regretted decisions. The story of the empty tomb holds a truth which transcends understanding. The truth that we are worthy of love. And there is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves unworthy of love. Our worthiness continues despite our worst intentions. That's the truth of Easter, the truth that redemption is always a possibility. Redemption as a way out, a way forward in places of hopelessness. Redemption as a path of love when all we feel is hatred. There is always room for betterment, for forgiveness, forgiveness for ourselves, forgiveness for others. That is the truth of Easter, the truth that death is guaranteed. Death is guaranteed. But that what we do with our lives matters. That our lives go on after our physical selves. Just as Jesus lives on in our gathering and sending love into the world, our lives go on in the impact we have in others. That's powerful. I mean, that's powerful, that's counterintuitive, it's countercultural, and thus it's sort of hard to remember. And so for me, this is why Easter, I come back every year, and I really like Easter. I need to be reminded. We come back every year. We remember this guide and this guy, Jesus. We recall his physical death. We recall the mystery of Easter morning, and we are reminded that we are worthy of love. That we have space for redemption. That we will go on after our physical deaths. So go forth into the world. Live out your life of redemption, of worthiness, of importance, with the truth of resurrection in your very bones. So happy Easter and amen. And let us sing one more time. So rise in body or in spirit. And this time, we have the more traditional words of Jesus, of death, of resurrection. So I encourage you to engage with this as you feel comfortable. If you know in your heart that you cannot sing a certain phrase, that's okay. If today has brought you a different understanding, you can translate the theology as you sing, that's okay too. Or if this is your faith held in verse, sing aloud. Please rise in body or in spirit. 268, Jesus Christ is risen today. Music touches the heart in a place other than words. Thank you, fellowship singers, so much. We extinguish our flames this morning, knowing that these flames live on in us. These flames are resurrected in our lives as we take our faith into the world. The reality is that sooner or later, all we have will be taken from us by death. But if we can live with the threat of resurrection in our bones, then we can live truly and well. Amen. Happy Easter and blessed be.